on the gun was scratched off. Rob and I split up from Maurice and Forrest. Rob and I spent some time at the apartment. I remember on the weekend that I got into a yellow or gold Jeep to see Mary. Mary is a girl I met at music camp, who lives in Elotes, which is near San Antonio. Maurice was driving, and I think Forrest was with us. Rob and I rode with them to San Antonio. We stayed there maybe an hour. I got a hold of a newspaper, and I remember reading about the fire and the yogurt shop murders. I read it out loud to everybody. We drove back to Austin. I remember getting back home and wanting to do nothing more than sleep. Several days after we got back from San Antonio, Rob came into the room we sleep in and told me that Maurice got popped with the gun that they had used at the yogurt shop. The semi-automatic pistol was lying on the bed. I knew that I had to get rid of it. I picked it up and left the apartment. I remember walking past a dumpster and thinking I should just throw it in the dumpster. I walked into the creek in the apartment complex. I put it in a hole in the side of a wall in the creek. I wedged another rock in it. I stacked some rocks near it as a marker to remind me where it put it. I went back and told Rob that I got rid of it and no one would ever find it. Less than a month later, Rob took off. I had moved out from Dry Creek and was staying at my parents' house. When I went back to Rob's apartment to get some of my things, Rob's dad told me that Rob went back to wherever he came from. I used to remember where that was, but don't remember now. A couple of months later, I met this guy named Patrick Davidson that I met at Double Dave's. We moved in with things. Guys, we moved in with these guys named Danny and Daniel in December of 1992. I was smoking a lot of pot. I had been drinking a lot, too, and started having flashbacks. I went back out to the creek and found the gun. I took the gun and put it in a brown paper sack that I found in the creek. I took the gun back to the South Austin to our apartment. I told Pat a little. I don't remember how much I told him, but I do remember that I told him I wouldn't have done it if I had not been forced to do it. I told Pat that I needed to get rid of what was in the sack. I didn't tell him. I asked him if he wanted to know, and he said no. He told me that he put it out in the trash. Yesterday, when I told him what was going on and told him that I was in trouble, he said that he pretty much knew that there was a gun in that sack when I gave it to him in 1992. Detective Fuentes asked me who I have told about the murders. My dad came over to my house this past Sunday. I told him what was going on, but did not give him a lot of details. He's a smart man, and he figured out what I was talking about when I told him that it happened back around 7 years ago. I think he had always suspected that I was somehow involved back in 1991 because of who I was hanging out with. We hugged several times, and he kind of started to cry. I cannot tell my mother because this would destroy her. I told my wife, but I did not give her details. She is real upset with me right now. We talked about whether I should get a lawyer right now, and I told her that that was the last thing I needed right now. Yesterday, right after I dropped my daughter off at daycare, I went next door to use the payphone, and I called the attorney Betty Blackwell. I told her that it involved the yogurt shop murders and that I was talking to the police. She recommended that I stop talking to you all. She told me whoever they pin this on, they are looking for the death penalty. She told me she did not handle cases like this. She told me that I didn't sound too good, and I should seek help by checking into Shoal Creek or something like that. I told my best friend Patrick Davidson, and he was pissed off at me. When he got rid of the gun for me in 1992, he didn't know what I had done with it. He said that he pretty much knew it was a gun when he threw it away. the other day when I was being interviewed by Detective Lara and Detective Merrill. They showed me digital photographs on their computer of the people I had been talking about when I used the names Maurice, Robert Springsteen, and Forrest. I recognized Maurice and Rob, but I had a hard time with Forrest's photograph. I had known Maurice for about 2 or 3 months before the murders. I met Maurice through Rob. I had seen Maurice almost every 2 or 3 days during that time period. I had known Robert Springsteen about maybe 6 months, and he had been staying with, him for about a couple of months. Forrest is a guy that I knew from McCallum High School. I would see him at school and North Cross Mall. I remember when we were in Maurice's car leaving the shop, Maurice had threatened everybody in the car. I don't remember exactly what he said. Later, Rob told me when we were at his apartment, if I ever said anything, it would all come back to me. He said he would deny everything. I can read, write, and understand the English language and the above statement I have read, and it is true and correct to the best of my knowledge and belief. Appendix 2. Redacted Michael Scott Statement. Beginning on page 3, after the Manuel Fuentes introduction and Michael Scott's acknowledgement of his Miranda rights. On December 6, 1991, I don't remember exactly what time it was. It was still daylight. Drove up to the strip mall, where the I Can't Believe It's yogurt shop was at. Go inside and took a look at the yogurt shop. Got up and make it look like going to the restroom. Walked out the back and walked around to the front of the building. Drove back to the mall. Left North Cross Mall. Drove through the alley behind the stores to see if the back double doors were slightly open. The building was on the driver's side, the left side of the car. I brought the can of Zippo lighter fluid. It was the bigger metal can. Went into the back door. One of the girls said something like, "Hey, you, what are you doing? You don't belong in here." This girl was wearing a T-shirt. I believe that it had the name I Can't Believe It's Yogurt on it. Believe that she was working in the back room. Expected to find only 2 girls inside store, and there were 2 other girls up front in the dining room sitting down. I could see the commotion going on up front. I checked the door, and it was locked. There was 1 key in the lock. The door was locked. I looked outside to make sure no one was looking in. As this went along, I got more and more scared. I looked out to check the front again. I heard the girls crying, and one of the girls say that that's all there is. It's been dropped, and you can't get to it. I went back there. I saw that all 4 girls were naked. I went to the pile of clothes and picked up some clothes to use to tie them up. I remember a T-shirt and a bra used to tie them up. The girls were crying and whimpering. They were begging not to kill them. They said that they didn't want to die. I got a paper towel and put it inside one of the girls' mouth. I remember that my finger pushed through the towel when I was trying to stuff it in her mouth. This may not have worked, so I might have had to use something else to stuff in her mouth. It was like terry cloth. The girls were on their knees. I don't believe they were standing up, because I was looking down at them. I went to the back and saw one of the dark-haired girls on her hands and knees. I got on top of her. I tried to do her from the front. I looked at her face. I didn't want to look at her face. She had a piece of white terry cloth towel on her mouth. I looked away because I didn't want to see her. I couldn't get it up because I knew what I was doing was wrong. I sort of faked it. The girl was sitting on the floor. I pointed the gun at her and tried to shoot at first but couldn't. I pointed the gun again at the girl and fired once into her head. I don't remember seeing a safe, but I don't remember what she was doing down on the floor. I remember looking in the doorway, and the gun is still in my hand. I saw the side profile of the girl. She had like a white shirt on. I think I shot her in the head. I have been not wanting to remember this. I know I told you something different, but I did her too. I dropped the revolver. I saw the girls laying there, and I pulled one of the girls on top of the other. I gathered up napkins, cups, paper towels, and piled them on top of the three girls. I sprayed Zippo fluid on top of the girls. I emptied the can of lighter fluid. I had a Zippo lighter with me and lit the fire. I heard a whoosh sound of the accelerant when it caught fire. I don't remember what I did with the can. I could have threw it in the pile of stuff in the back of the store. I remember that my only thought was to get out. I went outside. I had taken a knife from inside the shop. I believe I got it off the counter. It was a nice knife. I told you all before that I had taken a set of keys, but it was a knife. I remember now that it was a knife. I remember driving, but I don't remember what direction. I got out and threw up over the railing of the bridge. I took the knife and I threw it over the rail also. I made sure it was gone. I remember trees, and I don't remember seeing any water. I got back into the car. I don't know what happened next. I remember being back at the apartment. Detective Fuentes asked me to describe the two guns. A black 22 caliber revolver, small, I think it had wood grips. A small semi-automatic pistol, it had a clip. I think it was a 38. Some of the writing on the gun was scratched off. On the weekend, I rode to San Antonio. I got hold of a newspaper, and I remember reading about the fire and the yogurt shop murders. I read it out loud. I remember getting back home and wanting to do nothing more than sleep. The semi-automatic was lying on the bed. I knew that I had to get rid of it. I picked it up and left it at the apartment. I remember walking past a dumpster and thinking I should just throw it in the dumpster. I walked into the creek in the apartment complex. I put it in a hole in the side of a wall in the creek. I wedged another rock in it. I stacked some rocks near it as a marker to remind me where I put it. In December of 1992, I was smoking a lot of pot. I had been drinking a lot, too, and started having flashbacks. I went back out to the creek and found the gun. I took the gun and put it in a brown paper sack that I found in the creek. I took the gun back to South Austin to our apartment. I told Pat that I needed to get rid of what was in the sack. I didn't tell him. He told me that he put it out in the trash. I can read, write, and understand the English language in the above statement I have read, and it is true and correct to the best of my knowledge and belief. This is Amanda Carlin. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Who Killed These Girls? Cold Case, The Yogurt Shop Murders by Beverly Lowry. This program was directed by Fred Sanders. Executive producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2016 by Beverly Lowry. Production copyright 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.